That is a great anthem that we would pray and be submitted, that God could use our ransom lives. Our lives have been ransomed. They're no longer ours. They were purchased at a price. That he would use our ransom lives any way he chooses. And the way he chooses, he tells us that we would be used by him because we have been bought at a price. You may be seated.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We're sermon review week for us. So since our last sermon review, we have covered from Acts chapter 2, verse 17, through Acts chapter 5, verse 11.
Wow.
Making pretty good time. Making good time. So just to review what the titles of the sermon has been to help us get our minds on where that was. Today's sermon was obviously Everything in Common. Last week was the church's response to persecution. The week before that was Combating Persecution, Solus Christus. And the week before that was Peter Preaches the Gospel, and the audience's new hope. The word new wasn't in there. I added that in. Never mind. So, how these go, you've been through lots of them. If you have any questions about any of the sermons that you have heard, if you have any comments on any of the sermons, generally we tend to focus on the most one that's fresh in our minds, which is fine. Some things you may want to consider as you're thinking about that is, did I hear anything in one of those sermons that was new or different teaching that you want clarified? Did I hear anything in those sermons that was very affirming that you've heard before and it was good to hear again? Or doesn't have to be on either of those two genres of questions. It can be on anything. So what would you like to talk about from the last several sermons? Ready, go. Mr. Cunningham, Sophia.
Mr. Cunningham, start walking. He'll put his hand up for you.
I didn't have to go first. I gave 3 seconds. No one raised their hand. So I am going to focus on today just because what I saw in the scripture and what you talked about today wasn't challenging. I think we, by the grace of God, we live that out a lot. As much as it is maybe I question how from what the scripture says to what was taught, how we get there. So, for example, what I'm asking is, one of the things you said, hold on, let me gather my thoughts. I got a couple questions. So it says that they sold, anyone that had houses or land sold them. So, and I don't know if this is where understanding the time period and understanding who had what at that time is different than our American culture. And that may be some difference, but what I hear in that, and what I'm wondering is, anyone that has a house, so majority of us have a home in this room. And I heard that's anyone that has houses or lands, And then I said it was more, I heard you say that it was if they had sold them, then they would automatically be in need, so then they'd have to have them back, essentially, to a certain extent. That's not verbatim. So I'm trying to understand, was it what, did they sell what was in excess, like beyond what they actually needed? Meaning they had an extra home or they had extra lands that they were selling, or was it literally they sold everything that they had, laid at the apostles' feet, and then it was then distributed back?
Yeah, so we know they didn't sell everything, like I said today in the sermon, because in Acts chapter 12, we see they go to Mary's house. Mary still owns a house. So we still see ownership of things after this time in Acts. So we see that throughout the New Testament, and as time goes along until the Bible's done being written and whatever that was, 90, 100 AD. So, no, as one had a need, so the best I can tell you, Corey, is, you know, maybe you have a need and I sell my Lincoln Continental to give you money. I wouldn't be selling everything I had, because if I sold everything I had, then the next day I would probably be needing, wouldn't I? Now, whether a car is a need or not, don't get hung up on that. Just as these people were without homes, they were coming from all over to Jerusalem, having no place to go back to, so literally stuck with nowhere to go. Let's just, you know, again, it's not the way life is, but the Andersons move here, and they have no job, and they have no place to live. Well, Jason needs to be willing to work, but we're going to give him a place to live. And if that takes us selling some resources to do that, then we would do that. So when we at lunch today, Jason was asking some questions, and I don't know if this is even in the same ballpark, but maybe it is. You know, three times we've asked for special offerings in this church. And, you know, when the Simon situation, we saw a need, and so we took an offering, and some of us had to sell things to make our contribution. So there were things that I sold to make our family's part in that. But I didn't sell everything I had. There was not that need, but how we ought to look at that is we'd be willing to know that our property was common property. It was for all.
Okay. And then there was stated that, and I'm maybe off on verbatim, but my question was, I wrote, did they make a vow? And how do we know that they made a vow? I think you made a comment in the sermon that they had made vows and they didn't, and Ananias and Sapphira conspired together and didn't uphold that vow.
Yeah. So what did the text say they had done to God?
They had lied against the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And how had they lied against God?
Because they had purposed to do one thing and then they didn't.
Okay. So I called that a vow. They had vowed or purposed to do one thing. And they didn't do it. And it's clear from the text, that's what was happening. That's why I tried to, the word, the proceeds. It means the entire amount. So again, we don't have an analogy, but let's say we did, and we were all going to sell our, I don't know what we have all in common. We don't. So sheep. Whatever, we're going to sell something, and so what we would do is not hold back part of those proceeds. But again, I think it's obvious from the text and from the rest of Scripture, if everybody sold everything in Acts 2, then they have nothing to sell in Acts 4, and then they have nothing to sell in Acts 12 or 1 Corinthians or wherever else they're taking up these offerings. So it was as there was need, they would sell whatever, not everything they had. But everything they had was held as common property in their heart, in their soul, in their one-mindedness. Again, kind of going back to the saying that we've used around here. And look, I use my name just because I don't want to give away your stuff. But if the Reeds have it, you have it. And I don't live that out perfectly, that's for sure. But that's my heart and my soul. That's what God's put in my heart.
So during that time, I see how you get there, so thank you for the clarity. Would you say that at that point, everyone, because it says all that had lands and houses, so would all be all in that example of making a vow, if you will, during that time?
Not everyone would have lands and houses.
But the ones that did.
And they wouldn't sell all their lands and houses. So everyone who had them would be willing, and many did. I mean, so not all had those things. Remember, you got a church. Barnabas's land was in Cyprus, probably. It probably wasn't, but we don't know that. But it wasn't necessarily there in Jerusalem. But all those people gathered there would not have land. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people that had that kind of wealth. And remember, who got saved were the base. Mm-hmm. Who had all the money in Jerusalem, in Judaism? The Pharisees, the Sadducees. Not that we have to go there, but I'd be interested if you've thought any since the sermon or as the sermon was preached about persecution that might come and how we would respond. How are we to respond if persecution comes? Prayer. We don't have to talk about this, but I was very challenged by that if something comes up, I am quick to figure it out. Quick to think about the motive of the other person. Quick to think about my next plan to not have it go so bad. Quick to maybe reconsider, was I too, my first reaction whenever, whatever level of persecution. Look, when the things were going on with Chuck O'Neill, my first response wasn't to pray. It was to figure it out. Now, I certainly have and did pray, but that wasn't, we did some of that together, but we as elders, we talked a lot about it. We talked a lot about have and did and tried to use biblical wisdom, but so that's a form of prayer, to use the scriptures in your conversations, lining your will up with God's will. But that's how we're going to respond to trials and persecutions. We're going to line our wills up with God's will, not figure it out from a worldly perspective. And then, what was the prayer, Donnie? You said, for more boldness. What else was the prayer? What was the overarching theme of the prayer? God's sovereignty and God's plan.
So, to take that thread a little bit and pull it, generally speaking, what I'm going to talk about hasn't affected this local assembly yet, but it either will, or very likely will, affect this local assembly at some time in the future. And that would be, the two topics under that would be either the social justice gospel or the homosexual agenda. Those things are dividing what calls itself Christianity in our country, and those things are, they're getting people persecuted. They're getting people in trouble. Standing on truth on both of those two things. The way things seem to be going right now, at some point that's going to affect somebody or all of us. Either someone in this assembly or everybody in this assembly. Either a month from now or 5 years from now. Most likely to happen. What is our response going to be? Is it going to pray for boldness and to stand on truth? Or is it going to find a way to pray? Or are we going to try and find a way to stand on truth, but kind of be able to hide from the persecution? I'm just going to kind of go through the walls and stick close and,
like, it's okay.
Hopefully nobody notices me.
Like, it's okay if you have homosexuals in your assembly, but we won't do that. Like, that's okay if you have members that are, but not for us. That'd be an example of trying to not stand on the truth to stay away from persecution.
So, this is going to at some point become real for us. Are we going to pray for boldness, come what may? Or are we going to look for the easy way out? It's going to be real. That's a real live thing that's happening in the United States church right now. That's an example. I'd start praying now.
Mrs. Sandercock, Sophia, walk down the middle aisle and you will see her.
I'd like to go back to the sermons, if it's okay.
Today's sermon?
Yeah, today's okay. Sermon. I was trying really hard to follow, and I just kept hearing what seemed like different things. So I just need some help clarifying a few things. So you were saying that the having everything in common, it wasn't church property.
Right.
But then you went on to say that we weren't to, basically we weren't to be gifting one another. We were supposed to be bringing the proceeds or whatever to leadership, because we're not supposed to let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. So wouldn't that mean that it's church property? And so because I know there's going to be
if
a few
you stay
things.
There I can, but if you want to go on, but I can get so far, I think.
Okay, I've got more, but yeah, you can answer that part.
So it doesn't become church property even in the context of today's passage until it's sold for the purpose of giving it to the church.
Yeah.
And so our property is not church property. The caution that I gave and the reason I think that one of the reasons it's unwise to give directly is because the we've seen it in this local assembly, and maybe you can relate. There have been people that have helped people straight up individually, and it's puffed them up. And or it's created a burden on the one that's received it. It didn't come through the church necessarily. Now, it can happen that way too. It came direct. So Jason asked me today, can I not give anything? No, I'm saying, is it sinful for you to give something to someone else? No, because Scripture says if you see your brother hungry and, you don't feed him, what good is your faith? But to keep from that, and what I think is being highlighted here for Barnabas and for this early church is the reality of here you go, and I don't even have to know where it goes. I don't need any credit. I don't need any. I don't need any say. I don't have to approve or disapprove. So maybe that helps till that point, and then carry on.
Yeah, I think I kind of understood that part. I'm glad you clarified the other gift giving though, because that became really confusing for me. So then I was like, okay, so. Does that mean that we just give money to you guys and then you guys distribute? Because that's not how our local assembly. I mean, we've got things going everywhere, not just money.
I agree with you, and I to the point that we see that as problematic as leadership. I suppose we talk about it, but look, we do have lots of things going on. I think are appropriate. I mean. I'm going to pick an example. It doesn't matter. You might need a toaster, and we might have one, or we need one, and you give us a toaster. That happens regularly. I'm not suggesting that has to go through. However, it could be that you don't know something about our family that would maybe need for you to have concerns about giving us things. Again, we're a small enough congregation. We probably would talk about those things and know about those things. So, yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing that I needed clarification on was I thought I recalled you preaching on this before, and that the reason that they were struck down was not because of the money, but because they lied. Mm-hmm. But today it really seemed like the focus was on because they didn't give all. Mm-hmm. Now, even as I read it, I'm still, I mean, I see where it says, you know, gave the proceeds and, but after they sold it, they even, you know, it says it was still yours. It was in your control.
Yeah.
So why is it sinful to, I mean, I understand if they said you're getting it all then and not giving it all, then that's sinful, obviously lying. But it sounded like what you were saying is if you get the proceeds and don't give it all, whether that's what you purpose or not, that that's, then that that's sin.
Yeah, yeah. So what's clear from the text is it was purposed to be all. That's what the word proceeds meant. And what, and this is another key to this text, I think. And I, again, we a lot of stuff got covered. Kept back actually means embezzled. So you've got this concept of they sell it, they get a certain number of dollars for their property they sold that was their property. They didn't have to vow to sell it. They just were going, they said they'd sell the property. Now, so wasn't it yours to sell? Yep, and then you decide to sell it. Then weren't those proceeds in your control? In other words, you could have given all those proceeds, which is what you had vowed to do, because that's the entire amount, which is what the text says. But you embezzled some of it. You see, so it wasn't the reason they lied. They were hypocrites, and they stole. But specifically, the text talks about you lied to God.
Okay. So, are you saying that, let's say I have something to sell and I get, you know, $1.50.
Okay.
And, but it's, you know, I've already sold it, but I haven't said to you that I'm giving you the whole $1.50.
Or to God.
Or to God, yeah. That this is just how much we made. And so we've purposed now that we want to give you a dollar and we're going to keep 50 cents.
Yep.
Is that sinful or is it just specific to this?
Well, I think it's specific to this because based on what, you, okay. Let's say we all said, I'll try to make a, again, I don't
I
have.
Think I get
we all are
saying.
Going to sell our refrigerators. I think we all have one of those. And we as a church decide and we vow together, we're going to, and before God, we're going to sell our refrigerators to use those proceeds to build an whatever. A blah. And then you sell your fridge and you bring $300 and keep back $75. Even though we've had this agreement, it's understood amongst all of us, we've made the vow before God, okay. This is clear in everybody's mind, then you've lied to God.
All right. So it was because it